Let us all say amen. Want to thank all of you for your presence here this afternoon to hear another portion of God's Word. Want to thank all those brothers who have participated thus far in this worship service. And again, we're thankful to God that He has allowed our moments to roll on, that we can study another portion of His Word and be strengthened by His Word. I want to say that on last week, I shared that from 1 Corinthians 3:9, where Paul said concerning him and Apollos that we are laborers together with God, and I brought forth the point that Brother Brooks and I are laborers together with God through the Word of God as we try to evangelize through the Word of God, and also to strengthen those that are Christians. And I kind of shared on last week, I'll do a brief caption of it, the fact that Brother Brooks is dealing with, in his messages on Sunday, from the book of Acts, how those were converted through the Acts of the Apostles to the Church of Christ, and also how the church grew and dealt with things in its infancy during his messages. And I said that my messages that I will preach on this Sunday will be to those that are Christians. And I said that I had selected Peter's letter to those that were Christians, and it is threefold, and we'll show you clearly one of the folds on today, that the purpose of Peter's letter for those Christians in 1 Peter 1:1 that were scattered throughout Asia Minor, it was, one, to strengthen your faith, number two, to give you confidence in your life, and thirdly, to comfort those that may be suffering as Christians. And so we shared, as we look at, again, verse 1, Peter had written to those that were scattered throughout Asia Minor. And number two, he revisits the fact that they were elected, or they were chosen according to God's foreknowledge, God's omniscience, that God knew those who were being obedient to the gospel and come in contact with the blood of Christ, verse number two. And then Peter says, grace and peace be increased to you. And then he says, as we've done, thank Brother Bailey again this afternoon, he said, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we bless God by praising Him. And as we've done this afternoon by singing, we are offering praise and thanks to God for, as Peter said, His abundant mercy, that He has begotten us into a living hope, and is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then we closed on last week by showing that God, through Peter, shared that we have an inheritance, those of us that are Christians. This inheritance is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it can't fade away. And our title last week was, it was reserved in heaven for you. And so when I go through life, I want to remind myself sometimes that living this life is not all that it is. And we're going to talk about what it is today. But living this life, I understand that there's something that God has reserved for me in heaven. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be there when this life has ended for me on earth. And then as we talk about this afternoon, Peter says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And so we talked about expository preaching and explaining the text. And so Peter says, you still need to rejoice greatly because of salvation that God has awaiting you. He says, though for a little while, if need be, ye are in heaviness. And heaviness, by definition, means mental stress caused by problems in your life. And so Peter says that there may be a time or season when you are going through stressful things, problems in your life, and Peter says they can come through manifold temptations or various temptations. And the word temptations here means a test of your faith that is allowed by God. Acts 20:19, if you want to make note of that. And sometimes it's brought on by other folk. But it is a test of your faith that God allows. But then he says in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. So Peter says that, and that's my subject this afternoon, the trial of your faith. Now, Brother Brooks talked this morning about all that believed. Yeah, believed and the word faith, the Greek word is similar. Believe is the verb where faith is the noun. Same word, same meaning. But we find here that this afternoon I want to talk to each of you individually, and I've talked to myself, I've studied the text. I'm talking about the trial of your faith, not the faith. I'm talking about your faith. What is a trial? A trial is a procedure to identify the nature or substance of a thing. It's a test, is what it is. James 1, verse 3. So the trial is to allow you to identify what you made up of. Yeah, the nature or the substance of something. So that's a trial. That's to identify. You can see, and we'll show in the text. He said, of your faith, the trial of your faith. What is faith? Faith is a belief or trust in someone or something. And for this text, it's a belief or trust that I have in someone. That someone is Jesus Christ. So it's the trial of how much you trust in Jesus. And he says that, he uses a metaphor now, he says that your faith is much more precious than gold, because gold can perish. He says, though to find out the purity of gold, you put it up under fire. You heat it. He says, and then when you heat it, you'll find out that when Jesus appears, it'll either receive praise, which is approval by God, or it'll receive honor, or it'll find glory when Jesus appears. Your faith will when Jesus appears. So this afternoon, I want to discuss three levels of faith that are mentioned by Christ and the reasons behind each one of them. Jesus identified three levels of faith, and I want you to look at, do an inventory of yourself. When it comes to when you, your test, your faith was tested, when you were under a trial, when you had problems in your life, I want you to, as I have done myself for me, I want you to identify the substance of what you made up of. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse number 35. So again, the trial of your faith. I want you to look individually at yourself, as I've done myself, about your faith. In Mark chapter 4, and beginning at verse 35, the Bible reads, "And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, Jesus, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." The Bible says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that now it was full." The ship now was full of water. You know, sometimes in life, our life gets full of water. And the Bible says, "And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him. And they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" You know, sometimes when we get those storms in our life, we ask ourselves sometimes, does Jesus really care what's going on in my life? Does he care that I not perish? And the Bible says, "And he arose," Jesus did, "and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Sometimes we go through stuff in life, but what this first group did not remember, that Jesus has the power, no matter what goes on in your life, to rebuke or to turn back things. Also, Jesus has the power to speak in our lives, and great calm can come over our life. Now watch verse 40. First point. "And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful?" How is it that you have no faith? Some of us as Christians, we have no faith. How can I identify that, Brother Sal? Because when things happen in your life and you begin to panic and you become fearful, the word fearful being defined, as we can take notes, afraid in a way that makes you unable to do what is right or what is expected of you. Basically, it's being cowardly. Jesus said to them, you have no faith. Turn with me briefly. I'll come back to Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse number 8. Deuteronomy 20, give you Old Testament text, in verse number 8. Because they said in verse number 41, and they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? But notice in Deuteronomy 20, in verse number 8, we're talking about the fearful now. Moses wrote, and the officers shall speak further unto the people. They're going to talk to the people. And they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. You can't serve the Lord if you are fearful in life. Yeah. So what is the reason you have no faith? Because you're afraid. We can't live in this life being afraid. You can't be like them on the ship. Jesus is with you on the ship. And you go awake Jesus out of fear. Jesus, don't you care about us? Jesus is involved in all Christian lives. Yeah. Somewhere we'll read that later on when Peter said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Jesus watching. Jesus watching. But when you are fearful, Jesus categorized the first group as, how is it that you have no faith? No faith. When problems come in my life and I run and hide and try to run away from them, I am fearful of problems in my life. Jesus said, you have no faith. Secondly, in Matthew chapter 14, and beginning at verse number 26, we'll see the second faith that Jesus identifies. Verse number 26. And when the disciples saw him walking, that was Jesus, on water, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, don't be afraid. Jesus said, be of good cheer. In other words, Jesus was telling them, have some courage. It is I. He said, be not afraid. Have courage. Don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, he said, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Lord, if it is you, allow me to walk on water. And Jesus told him in verse 29, he said, come. Come on, Peter. Come on. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Yeah. He's now walking on water. And sometimes when things are going well in our lives, we are faithful to the Lord. When the job is going well and there's peace at home. We have our eyes on Jesus, and things are well, like Peter was walking on water. But sometimes there's a but that comes in our life. The Bible says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, and that word means very noisy, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And it taught me that when my oldest daughter, when Destiny was young, and my wife had to teach me what her mother, Sister Olive Sales, taught her. And when it was time for Destiny to go to sleep or be put to sleep, Sister Stroud taught me that you train children or train babies to learn to adjust to the noise. You don't turn the TV down. You don't not answer the phone. You don't stop talking, because babies will learn to adjust to noise. And they'll go ahead and go to sleep that they need to get. And so the Bible says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And he said unto him, told Peter, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And so I want to say to us, just like a baby, there will be noise or problems in our lives. Yeah. However, as a Christian, we face them with confidence because Jesus' hand is there to catch us while we are walking on the difficulties of life. Yeah. There will be noise in our lives, just like with babies. You learn to adjust to the noise and the difficulties in life, and you learn to face them with the understanding that Jesus is there. His hand is there to stretch out to grab you. And he told Peter, Peter, your faith is little. The second type of faith is, it's not that we don't have no faith, but the faith that we have, notice Jesus said in the text, he asked him, wherefore or why did thou doubt? See, some of us, our faith that we have is uncertain, it's unsure. We are faithful when things are going well. But when tough times come, we can walk on water when things are well. But understand this, those that may have little faith, keep your eyes on Jesus. Peter started listening to the wind. Sometimes we can allow circumstances and situations to allow us to take our eyes off the Lord. No. Those are them that have little faith. Yeah. Peter's faith, Jesus said, is little. You got some, but it's little. It's little. And the Bible says, and when they will come into the ship, the wind did the same thing it did before. It ceased. When you have those difficulties that we will have and those problems that we will face, yeah, if our faith is little, we'll be as Peter and we'll cry out, Lord, save me. Well, if you're going to be saved, it's going to be by the Lord anyway. But the Lord is allowing you to see your faith in him. The third type of faith. In Matthew, turn over to the 15th chapter, beginning at verse number 21. The Bible says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and she cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now watch this. But he answered her not a word. Sometimes in life, we can pray to the Lord, and it seems like Jesus ain't listening because you don't get an immediate response. The Bible says in the text that Jesus answered her not a word. Sometimes we can go through stuff and it may appear to you that Jesus ain't listening. Excuse my English. And not only that, the Bible says, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. See, sometimes even other folk will try to steal your faith that you may have. Yeah, and sometimes it can be family members. You going through stuff, and they'll want you to just go away. The Bible says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus told her, you're a woman of Canaan. I'm sent only to those lost sheep that are of the house of Israel. Now, watch her response. And I'm saying this to us. The Bible says, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She was not deterred by the fact that the disciples said, send her away, and how Jesus didn't answer her. Let me share something with us when we go through stuff. Someone had sent me a text recently about some problems and difficulties their daughter was having in life. And so I responded back to the person, turn your Bible to Hebrews. And chapter 10, and meet me at verse number 35, because I responded back to the person. She know who she is. You don't need to know. But I shared with her that I will pray for your daughter regarding her situations. But I also wanted her to know that remind your daughter to be sure to do that which is pleasing to God. See, sometimes when we hit a rough spot, we stop being faithful to the Lord. We stop being faithful in our attendance, if it be right now on the conference call to worship service. I miss morning worship. I may miss evening worship. Why? Because the problems that are in my life that I'm trying to settle. But you can't deal with nothing without Jesus. Notice what the Bible says. Show your faith in Hebrews 10 and verse 35. The Bible says, cast not away therefore your confidence. Your confidence is your faith. Your confidence is your trust. Your confidence is your belief that you have. The Hebrew writer said, don't throw it away. Why? He said, which has great recompense of reward. It's going to pay you. You just got to be faithful. We'll see in the text. He said, notice what he says. For you have need of patience. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So when you're going through stuff, you still have to do the will of God. Sometimes as Christians, we stop serving God. We stop doing what is right for a Christian to do. As I said in my what is fearful means, you become afraid and you don't do what is right. You don't do what is expected of you. You still are expected to do the will of God, regardless of what goes on in your life. The Hebrew writer says, after. He says, you have need of patience after you have done the will of God. After you've done what God told you to do, you still need to be patient. Watch the woman. Go back to Matthew 15. Let's see this woman. The Bible says, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, I still need your help. I still need your help. Now watch Jesus again. The first time, he didn't answer. The second time, his disciples said, send her away. The third time, he said to her, I'm sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. But he answered and said, this is the fourth time. It is not meet or fit to take the children's bread. He was talking about the Jewish people, and to cast it to dogs. Dogs in this context simply meant Gentiles. They referred to in the text as dogs. So Jesus said, it's not fit for me to take that from the Jews and give it to the Gentiles. Notice this woman's response. And she said, truth, Lord. That's the truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. What she was saying to Jesus, and what we need to learn as Christians, whatever the Lord gives us, whatever falls from the master's table, whatever it is sufficient. It is enough. God can supply all you need. Whatever you get from the Lord, it is enough. She realized that. Lord, I don't need all of this. You ain't got to give me all of this. I don't have to have the best job in the world. I just want a job. Sometimes young people won't take jobs because the job ain't paying me enough. Well, one thing I learned, nothing for nothing leaves you nothing. You got to have something. Billy Preston said, if you want to be with me. Sometimes you need to take those low-paying jobs so God may bless you with another job. But when you sometimes think you too much to take that job, you end up with no job. If you ain't got no job, you got to move away from here. Jesus answered her and said, O woman, great is thy faith. She was way past no faith. She did not have a little faith. She was rejected four times. Yet and still, she said, Lord, help me. I'm willing to take and accept whatever it is you give me. I'm willing to take whatever it is until I can do better. I'm willing to put up with stuff as long as I can try to live as a Christian and I'm not doing something sinful to do that which is right. Jesus said to her, notice what he told her. He said, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. So what Jesus did in this text, because her faith was great, Jesus said, I'm going to give you whatever you ask me for. She asked Jesus, look at the verse, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Her faith was that, Lord, my daughter is vexed with the devil. There's nothing I can do. I need your help. Jesus said, I'm going to give you exactly what you believed I could do for you in your life. And I'm saying to us as Christians, there are times when we have difficulties. I'll say it like this here. There will be vicissitudes or unfavorable events that we as Christians will experience in our lives. We need to believe and trust in Jesus to help us in those situations. When we face unfavorable events as a Christian in our lives, we need to be as the Canaanite woman was. She believed and she trusted that Jesus could help her with the situation. And sometimes we're in situations. Notice we said in Hebrew writer, after you have done the will of God, now you may simply need to be patient. Wait on the Lord. Isaiah, I think it's 40:31. Sometimes we have to wait on the Lord. The devil wants you to get impatient. He wants you to try to rush. But just do the will of God and have the faith that the woman had. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 as I move to my close. Verses 8 and 9 of the text, 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9. Watch the faith in the text. Whom having not seen, talking about Jesus, he said, you still love him. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In whom, though now you see him not, yet, notice now, believing. Remember I told you, faith, the word faith and believing, same word, Greek word. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even though we don't see Jesus, we believe in Jesus. And for that reason, as a Christian, I have joy. I can rejoice with joy that I don't even have to say nothing about it. But it's there. And then verse 9 as I close. And then I'll extend the invitation for those that are on the call that you are not a Christian and you want to be a Christian. The Bible says, final verse to the Christians. Peter says, regarding your faith, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. What Peter said there is that Peter equated your salvation as equal to your faith. Little faith, salvation. If my faith is based on my faith, then my salvation is there. And so I'm saying to all of us, and again, this message is one of self-examination. You ask yourself, you've lived your life. You may be a young person, teenager, stuff in school. School is difficult now. Online schooling, COVID situation. You may be a young adult trying to make it. Job may have been temporary, may have laid y'all for a minute, and you just got to go find something to make ends meet. You may be a young couple married with children. Now you got to do more than you used to. You got to work with them at school. When they come home and before school, after school, your job then became more difficult. That's what called being a parent is. Yeah. And then you may be a middle-aged adult trying to finish up and get there. Yeah, but you still need to have faith in Jesus. You still need to have great faith. Just trust in Jesus. Guess what? You my age, you're 61 years old. I didn't get here by myself. Jesus, wherever I am now today and however I'm living today, I thank the Lord for it. Yeah. He has saw me through. The Lord did. Not me. The Lord did. And so we got to have, and then for our seniors, our SAMs, senior adults, God has cared for you up to this point. Maybe 70, some maybe 80. God got you there. And I know this situation that we're living in now, sometimes there are probably difficulties. But take the precautions that we hear from experts to do, and then at the end of the day, I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. Yeah. I'm not going to be scared to live. I'm going to live, and I'm going to trust in the Lord. Take the precautions I need to take, or you need to take, and then have great faith. Trust in the Lord. And the Lord bless you. He can bless you as he blessed that woman. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're visiting with us and you're not a Christian, life doesn't start for you spiritually until you become a Christian. In 1 Peter, I'll stay in the same text, verse 18. Peter talked about how one became a Christian. Verse 18. He said, if Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. So what Peter shared with them, that's the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for your sins and my sins, the just for the unjust, and the reason he died was to bring us to God. He was put to death, he was nailed to a cross, but God raised him up again. And he says, verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient, talking about those people that lived during Noah's day, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was of a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure, what? The water. Whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us. But it's not just the water. As I said, Peter told him in verse number 3 of 1 Peter 1, it is the blood of Jesus that you come in contact within the water that washes away all your sin, that takes you from being unjust to righteous. And so you have to come in contact with the blood. What are you saying, Brother Stiles? There are 5 acts to becoming a Christian. You have to hear the gospel, which I share with you, is Jesus Christ died for your sins, he was buried, he rose again the third day. You have to believe that. Then you got to repent of your sins. The life that you've been living, which has been away from God, now you turn to God. That's repentance. And then you do the commands of God. What is the command? You make the confession according to Acts 8:37 that you believe now that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you're water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sins. You come in contact with the blood of Christ. And then when you come up out of water, you are a new creature in Christ. You are a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. You are not saved until you do that. If there's someone today that's on the call, you want to be a Christian. You want to have the faith that I've spoken about. That great faith, it doesn't start until you become a Christian. Get with the person on that invited you to the call. Render obedience to the gospel. Get baptized in water by a Christian. And the Lord will add you to the church, according to Acts 2:47. I thank you this afternoon for your patience in listening to me. The trial of your faith. Thank you very much.